the 1620 The Zone mobile app. 1620 The Zone is live now at the Omaha Baseball Village, powered by MD West One. Here are Gary Sharp and Robbie Lula.
Five people. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday at the College World Series. It's Elimination Day. Somebody from the Pac-12 is going home. Vanderbilt or North Carolina State is moving on to Friday, and so they get a couple extra days to go to the zoo. This is the College World Series Day 3, powered by MD West 1, official team doctors of the College Baseball Championship and Creighton Athletics. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's odd to do a show with somebody else, so this is okay. I'm going to reach out and touch you.
It's been, a couple of years since you had a co-host?
Well, I don't want to be mean to George, who's on site here. I mean, George and I do a show, but, George doesn't come and sit next to me.
Yeah, it's a little...
So we've never... I've been a long-time admirer from afar, and now we get to sit next to each other for the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, I told you before we started, you complete my 1620 bingo card. I think I've done a show with literally everybody else at the station. So this is nice. This is a nice...
I don't know how I should feel. Should I feel, honored that I'm your last?
Well, I heard somewhere you should never be somebody's first or their last, so I don't know.
That's true. That's the old adage. If it's your first and you get married, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Welcome to the College World Series.
My first wife and I can agree to that.
How you doing, ma'am? Okay, I have to warn you about something because they don't let me go outside very often, and we're in a brand new location. This is a great location here, by the way. I love this location. We have always already have people walking in and out of here, and it is going to be a beautiful day. This is not typical June in Omaha, Nebraska.
No.
It is fabulous. This is a top 10 day.
It's 78. It's not a typical any day in Nebraska. This doesn't exist here. You get three of these a year.
This is going to be the best day of the week, but I have to warn you, Robbie. So I like to talk to people.
Oh, sure.
And so we have a wireless mic, and people can access the animals here.
Are we the animals, or are they the animals?
People that walk by that might have interesting looking shirts, or they look like they're from out of town that we must know their story, then we're going to find a way to get them over here.
There's a tent over here that's selling. They sell all sorts of different cool shirts, and one of them has the beast from Sandlot with the ball in his mouth. It's incredible. They also have a nice. Display of different Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes.
I think it's an RBI baseball. It's pixelated from the early 90s with the swing. It's gorgeous. There's some good stuff out here.
A friend of mine, DC, was down here on Saturday, and he's got, his shirt is Bo Jackson, but Topps, the Topps baseball cards, they used to make T-shirts as well, and they would take the baseball card and put it on a T-shirt.
Okay.
And so he was out here rocking his Bo Jackson 1986 Topps shirt.
See, that's gotta be pretty rare at this point. You might be able to get a little collector's money for that thing.
Yes, Red Raider fan just walked by. Usually they're a staple here. Tim Tadlock got a lifetime contract, but they got knocked out by Stanford, who plays today.
Which Stanford hasn't been here in a minute.
They haven't been here for a while. Mark Marquist was the last to be here, the legend. And let me just first start by saying I was wrong on my 2-Q predictions because I thought it would be the two teams out of the ACC, North Carolina State and Virginia. But whoa, did I know, North Carolina State is for real.
Oh, yeah.
And then Virginia, they just know how they are on a run. You're playing your best baseball of the year. Brian O'Connor is back. He's already won a national championship in his hometown area, the Virginia is on a roll, and the ACC goes 2-0, and they outscore their opponents 16-4, and we have an elimination game today. Tennessee let me down.
Yeah, I was at that, I wasn't at the day game, but I came last night for the Mississippi State Texas game. But yeah, I was a little disappointed in the effort from Tennessee. I thought their bats might come alive a little bit at some point.
Terrible with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I mean, all you heard about coming up to the series was how potent their offense was and, the big bats and then this Virginia team that basically didn't hit any home runs all year but then got hot in the postseason, hangs a pretty crooked number on them and off they go.
And then last night, you were here. It might be one of the best single-game performances in College World history by Will Bednar, the pitcher from Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
He was just flat-out dominating. Now,
I mean, over a combined 30 strikeouts, but he was unbelievable and well worth the standing out that he got when he walked off the mound.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there was, you know, somewhere around the fourth or fifth inning, you know, I start looking up, okay, what's the nine-inning strikeout record here? And because he struck out, I think, seven in a row at one point. Mm-hmm. I think through the fifth he had struck out into the sixth, he had struck out 15 of the 17 outs at some point. And so he was just racking those things up. The pitch count was getting up there, and you could kind of tell he was fatiguing a little bit at the end. But unbelievable pitching performance. And then the closer, Sims, comes in and strikes out, I think, five in a row to start his deal, too.
And Texas still had a chance at the end to tie it.
Yeah, they had the home run to cut the lead in half, and then they had some base runners against the closer who was going extended innings. I think he was in his third inning of work at that point, which that's kind of where I get a little dicey about college baseball, where, you know, you saw this with Arkansas and Kevin Copps, right, where, you know, he's throwing 300 pitches in a weekend, and you're like, I don't know how great that is for his arm, but I guess, Dave Van Horn, that works. So it wasn't quite that bad with Sims, but you can tell when guys just are not used to throwing that many pitches, and it looked like he was about at the end of his energy levels there.
That was a hell of a game last night. Some will say that are, you know, not sitting here because we have to be neutral, that any day that Texas loses at the College World Series is a good day.
I think I have heard some people say that. I don't want to point any fingers anywhere, but no, it was a really fun. And you know, the nice thing about it was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. That thing was moving.
Outside of the 12-inning affair on Saturday night, the walk-off by Vanderbilt, the games have moved along. I'm not into game time. I'm into pace of play.
Sure, yeah.
Which is everybody's trying to fix. You know, Major League Baseball begins today where they're going to crack down on the sticky stuff.
Right.
Because they want singles and doubles. They want base runners. They want action.
It's some rally baseball, mm-hmm. right? It's the three-outcome baseball that is kind of everybody's sick of because it's not very exciting. It kind of even takes, oddly enough, takes the luster out of the home runs, right? Because nobody's ever on base. It's kind of, you know, it's the issue some people have with soccer, right? Nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Oh, we scored a goal! Nothing's happening, nothing's happening. You know, like, that's kind of what baseball's turned into. And, you know, there's a reason soccer's not that popular in this country. And so, I think that's part of the appeal of college baseball is sometimes you do get a little bit differentiation in styles there. And I mean, I know you're a big baseball guy. I've been kind of geeking out on some of the spin rates have already started dropping off a cliff just because they haven't even started checking yet, but they sent out the memos and they're like, hey, we're cracking down. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the style of play follows with the spin rates falling off the cliff.
Yeah, today is the day they start cracking down at the major league level. The narrative, which has kind of been changing for the last few years in that ballpark behind us, is the home runs. We're mm-hmm. at least seeing the home run ball. You get rewarded. If you barrel up on a ball in this ballpark now, more than likely it's going to go out.
Oh,
where
yeah.
in the past, if you hit it really well, it's going to die at the warning track. Now you're getting rewarded, so at least that is something. But, I mean, that narrative is starting to kind of die a little bit, is if you hit the ball well, the ball's going out of the ballpark. You don't have to worry about, oh, or when you get to the ninth inning and you need one swing of the bat to tie the game up, there's a legit possibility you can.
Yeah, I mean, there were years past where a 2-0 lead was ballgame, right, because you're not hitting anything out of the park. Whereas I think Saturday they had seven home runs on the day, and these aren't wall scrapers. They're getting pretty far up in the grandstand there. They're hitting long. They're hitting some long home runs, and so yeah, I think what was it? The worst was there was a year where they only had three the entire series. So those days appear to be long gone, which, thank God. I was a big fan. I grew up, I started coming to these games during the Gorilla Ball era. And
28-21?
Oh, yeah. I was at
If we only got another touchdown.
I was at the USC-Arizona State 21-14 game. I grew up with the LSU, the famous LSU teams. I was all about the, you know, the BB Corbats are kind of the bane of my existence. I like, you know, it used to be the ping of the bat. Now it's the thunk of the bat. But at least we've got a little bit more power generation out here now.
All right, Elimination Day, Arizona-Stanford coming up a little after 1, and then tonight Vanderbilt and North Carolina State. Jack Leiter pitches. He is the other half of the dominating duo of Vanderbilt. Kumar Rocker struggled in the first inning. Arizona had a great approach against him, but he settled in after that, and Vanderbilt found a way to come back. I had Vanderbilt, Tennessee in the final, so Vanderbilt knows how to win here, and they did. But you know the importance. If you get up 2-0, you don't have to play till Friday, and you have to lose on Friday and Saturday not to be in the championship series, especially if you have some pitching depth.
Oh, yeah.
You're golden, Jerry.
It's a huge advantage. And honestly, having gotten the win, even though Rocker didn't pitch particularly well, is huge for them because they survived this a game, frankly, they probably should have lost. If you touch Rocker up like that, you expect to win the game, right? And obviously Vanderbilt still came away with the victory. And now it's not like you get a break. Leiter comes up, who probably going to get drafted ahead of Rocker, depending on who you ask. You know, they're probably both going in the top.
Be pitching for your favorite team.
I would say, yeah, the last mock I saw, I think Leiter was going to the Red Sox, and I think Rocker was going to the Royals.
Yeah, Leiter, I've seen, I think it was Baseball America or D1 Baseball has Leiter at 4 to Boston and Rocker at 7 to Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a couple guys that are both almost assuredly going in the top 10, and you actually get to one of them, and you still can't win the game. So you have to wonder if you're any of these teams facing Vanderbilt, if there is a path to victory here, if you touch up the starter and still can't even get a W.
So we'll talk some college baseball throughout as our lead up to the early game on this Elimination Monday, day 3 of the College World Series. Of course, we'll talk about a wild weekend in the NBA and what to do with Ben Simmons. Woo! Or what Josh Smith said about Doc Rivers. Why has he got to bring his wife into it?
I still love Ben Simmons. I'm a stan.
It may not matter, Robbie, if his teammates don't like him or can't trust him. But what a weird series, and what a weird Final Four in the NBA. Some like it, some don't. It's the mid-major final for the NBA.
I love it, man. Like, you get some different teams in there. I'm just thrilled to death it's not the Nets. That's all I wanted, not the Nets.
I know that they'll look at TV markets, and if you understand the business, you want major markets that have well-established stars because you want eyeballs, and eyeballs equal advertising revenue and what you can do in the future. There is, I think, a lot of intrigue to the four that are left because there are some young players.
Yeah.
I mean, we've complained for the longest time, it's LeBron and Steph all the time. And I like the Lakers and Golden State, and I like that kind of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But this is okay to watch Giannis, who's 26, Trae Young, who's, 22?
Maybe,
the other young guys, Devin Booker, the guys that are emerging. So it's not the big markets. And it's kind of been a little bit like March Madness in the NBA Finals. Now, I think at the end, the best team has won each series.
Oh, yeah.
But leading up to it, when you factor in the injuries, it has a little bit of March Madness feel to it.
Yeah, it certainly put in a level of doubt that I don't think would have existed otherwise, and frankly, in a lot of years, hasn't existed. But I think a lot of the country probably got introduced in a real way to Devin Booker last night, and who just was incredible. I mean, I don't think people understand, even if they knew who he was, I don't think they understood the talent level. And also, he plays a different style of basketball than almost every other guard that we see in the NBA right now. He is not three-point reliant. He kind of relies on an old-school game, but still does it in a hyper-efficient way, which is just really not common anymore.
We'll get into all of that as the NBA moves forward. Phoenix winning yesterday at 1-0, and now Atlanta and Milwaukee will get going on Wednesday, and the Final Four of the NBA is set. Yesterday at the U.S. Open, John Rahm. Boy, is there a more consistent golfer right now than John Rahm at the age of 26 who got his first major, and what a way to do it. Putting on 71 and 72 of your weekend when you get to the 71st and 72nd hole and you're able to putt like that and to close it out.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the nerves first and foremost.
Which just crushed a lot of people on that course on the back nine yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the back nine was your classic U.S. Open, you know, set of golf holes there. But I really like the story of John Rahm because he had the issue with it, the PGA Tour a couple weeks ago.
Kind of karma, isn't it?
Yeah, where he was leading and then he tested positive and obviously had to withdraw and everything. And so it was just really cool to see him come back because, honestly, that could mess with a guy's head to be leading at a major. I mean, how many times have we seen it where, you know, things don't break a guy's way in the major and he's never the same again, especially kind of in this formative time in his career. He basically, as soon as he's ready to go, again, bounces back and picks up right where he left off. It was kind of incredible, honestly.
It's consistency. He's also a great interview I think he was, especially what happened 15 days earlier, he was so gracious yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know what? You think about on Father's Day, and I know a lot of people came out here to the College World Series to take their dad to a ball game, is he just became a father. And I'm thinking, Robbie, the way that that was unfolding, and he saw the carnage in front of him, and he could feel it behind him and how the course was playing, that being a new father might have actually helped him being calm out there. Because of everything he's gone on in the since his child was born,
yeah.
And when you consider what happened at Jack's tournament at the Memorial a couple of weeks ago, when he's pulled off the course while he's leading because they said you tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was probably the least chaotic thing that's happened to him in a while.
True.
You know, and so it's a lot easier to stay calm when everything else is kind of crumbling around you, and you're like, I'm just playing golf. This is not a big deal.
Coming up here before this hour is over, Matt Verzal will join us. Mike Schaefer at 11:30. Nebraska picked up a few commitments over the weekend. They got their wide receiver. They got their outside linebacker. And we got to see Dominic Raiola's son, who of all the list of Friday Night Lights superstars, since Nebraska introduced that concept, Donovan Raiola is going to be on that list. Only a sophomore, and he wowed with a cannon arm. So we'll get a recap from Schaefer. He'll join us at about 11:30. We love you to join us out here at Baseball Village, the College World Series Day 3. Somebody's going home. They're going 2 in the queue. Somebody out of the Pac-12. Arizona Stanford at 1 later tonight. Vanderbilt, North Carolina State. There's Robbie. I'm Gary. George is on site as well. We're here until about, 12:40?
Yeah.
All right, we're here until 12:40. So stop by, say hello. We'll take pictures. We'll sign autographs. We'll kiss babies. We'll do all that stuff. Oh, we can do that now.
It's allowed.
We can hug. We can welcome you to Omaha. I like to consider myself the personal welcoming committee for the city of Omaha. Welcome to the Big O. We're back with more from the College World Series after this.